From Acts chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. Now the apostles and believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times, then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter, and he will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." I love a good story. I think it's one of the reasons that I really like to read. If it's a good book, I often find myself completely wrapped up into the story, to the point where I don't want to do anything else. I remember when I first read the Hunger Games trilogy, it was at a point when it was becoming first popular, and so the waiting list at the library for it was very long. I was in seminary at the time, so a few friends and I devised a plan that we would just get one copy, and five of us would try to read it in the two-week span that we had before you had to return it to the library. We had an order that we agreed upon that we all went through for all three books, and I was lucky enough to be the second of five to read it each time. The only problem with this setup is that once you finish the book, you want to talk about it, to rehash the story with others, and so you end up having all these secret meetings with the other friends who've read the book so as not to ruin it for the others still waiting. So often we want to talk about stories, because stories have meaning. Stories can change things, which are all the things we see in our scripture this evening. In our scripture, Peter is also telling a story. He's telling a story to the Jewish council of the early church about how he had a dream from God, telling him that the laws that the Jewish people had followed for centuries concerning which foods were clean and unclean no longer held for the followers of Jesus, and that because of that dream, he went to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile who wouldn't have followed those laws, and he ate with him, and he told him about Jesus, and then he baptized Cornelius's whole family, thus welcoming them into the church. Now, this story of Peter is one that, as modern-day Christians, we might have some problems understanding the significance of. After all, we don't really care if somebody eats pork or seafood or whatever as a reason for them to be a part of the church or not. But for the church in the book of Acts, this was a huge deal. This decision concerning this issue threatened to break the church apart. And so it was important that Peter have some good words to say to the gathered crowd about why he did this. Because for Peter, this issue was about more than if what we're going to eat as Christians. It was also about the declaration about what Easter really means. What does being a Christian really mean? What does it mean to believe that Christ is risen? The church had a choice to make at this point in its very early history. Were they going to go forth from here, declaring that Christ is risen for those who are like us? Or were they going to claim that Christ is risen for everybody? In other words, who is salvation for? Who is grace for? Who is the love of God for? With his experience, Peter has become convinced that the declaration must be Christ is risen for everybody. Not because this is what he wants, but because he has come to believe that this is what God wants. As Peter says in the scripture, if God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? Peter, for one, does not want to hinder God, so he has to figure out how to share with the world that Christ is for everyone. And my hope for us is that as we see how Peter went about all this, we too see how we might proclaim this good news as well. What words then does Peter use? How does he go about explaining this situation? Well, he tells them a story. He tells them step by step, is what our scripture says. He tells them step by step what happened. And we as the readers today know, if you want to go look in your Bible, what Peter is really doing is just telling them what happened in the previous chapter of Acts, the story as it happens. Pretty much Peter is reading Acts 10 out loud in Acts 11, which might seem a little strange to us. After all, couldn't Luke, the writer of Acts, just said something like, Peter told the gathered crowd what had just happened and just leave it at that? But he doesn't. He recounts the entire story again for us. And I think that in doing so, he shows us the value of telling a story. Peter could have stood in front of the Jewish Christians and said, here is a list of 10 reasons why I think God is telling us to let Gentiles into the church. He could have given them some nice facts about the things that Gentiles could bring them, or shared percentages about how there were so many more Gentiles in the world, so it gave them a better rate of growth. But he didn't. He told them a story. He told them what God had done in his own life. And by telling the story, he makes the issue personal. No longer are the Gentiles just some group of people. Now they have names and faces through Peter. And what's more, Peter tells the story in such a way that it could have happened to anyone. It's not like Peter had gone to sleep one night thinking, wow, I really hope I have a dream that causes me to rethink all the norms I have been taught my entire life so that I can go cause some major strife among the followers of Jesus. No. Instead, God intervenes in Peter's life in a way that God could have intervened in anyone's life. God calls Peter to overcome his preconceived notions of what a follower of Christ looks like, and instead consider for the first time that this faith could be for anybody. And that's what Peter tells the gathered crowd in a way that makes you think the message of, this could have happened to anybody, and if it happened to you, what would you have done? Would you have hindered the work of God? Would you have listened to God? It's through Peter's story, then, that the claim that Christ is risen is shown to be a proclamation that Christ is risen for everybody. Because in the end, stories, not arguments, are what change lives. And Easter, the resurrection, the proclamation that Christ is risen, that's a story. In our lives today, stories still help us understand each other. I remember back in one of my classes in seminary, A professor told us a story about how very early on in her ministry, she was given the task of teaching the Lord's Prayer to the children who came to this church's after-school program. So she goes in to teach the Lord's Prayer. So she starts off by teaching them the first line, "Our Father who art in heaven." And immediately a young boy raises his hand and asks, "Pastor, did God beat up Jesus?" My professor, not really knowing what to say, said, "Well, no." And so then the boy said, "Well, then God must have never been around." The professor, she began to understand then that for this young boy, the only father the child could picture was either abusive or absent. So she took time to ask him who in his life was always there for them, who always loved him, who did he know he could go to with anything. And she found out for this boy, that person was his grandmother. So for a time, this young boy learned the Lord's Prayer as, "Dear God, who is a lot like my grandmother and lives in heaven." Now, if somebody stood in front of you and said, "Here are 10 reasons why I think we should change the words to the Lord's Prayer," I know I at least would think that their argument was pretty bogus. But when you hear a story, when you get to know the personal reasons, I think we can see how for that young boy, the best way he could have had an encounter with a risen Christ was to learn the prayer that way. And if we're really saying that Christ is risen for all, I think we have to listen to stories. Stories like that of that young boy or that of Peter, in order to understand and learn that we can best learn how to invite others into relationship with Jesus. Because the second way I think that our scripture shows us about the value of stories is that it shows us through our stories we can invite people to faith. Peter's story works. Not just for the Gentiles at Cornelius' house who come to believe when Peter arrives and eats with them, but also for the Jewish Christians who have gathered to protest Peter's action. The same is true for us today. We all have stories of faith. We have stories about the first person who brought us to church, the first person who told us about Jesus. We have stories about the moments that we were sure that God was real, and the moments we weren't sure at all. We have stories of the time that God answers our prayers. We have stories about the times that God calls us to do something new that might have been a little scary, but then we did it, and something amazing happened. We have stories about the first time we said Christ is risen and really meant it. And these stories, they don't have to be an extravagant thing like Peter's dreams of animals coming from heaven on a cloth. They can be every day and just as meaningful. Because there's somebody who needs to hear our stories. Because stories matter. They mean something. Stories change lives. And as Christians, we're in the business of changing lives. And it might just be through your story that someone learns that Christ is risen and that through the resurrection, they too can experience love, grace, and hope for eternal life. So tell your story. Share where you have been. Proclaim that Christ is risen.